You get good drivers who are like, why am I bothering to be good? Why should I do this? If we can do whatever we want, why should I do this? You know, if you tell us we're a team and it affects everyone and this guy can keep doing this. So we created this program that is for our top drivers. And it includes everything. So it's not just safety.
Right.
It's not just compliance.
Oh, I love this.
But it's also, are you doing all of our company policies? You know, so sat down, you know, kind of put the bare bones of it together and then sat down with the team. We went through what was important. And then I came up with an algorithm to be able to figure this out well.
Yeah. Hey, everyone, and welcome to the podcast, Caution Wide Right, brought to you by Compliance Navigation Specialist. I'm Luke, your host, and today we're going to explore how to grow a safety and compliance team, what this role looks like, and how to generate driver retention, positive engagement, and things like that. Today, I have Andrea Bird, Safety and Compliance Manager at Denver Cold Storage and Denver Logistics. Andrea has over 20 years in the transportation industry, joined Denver Logistics team back in 2020. And a little bit about the company, Denver Cold Storage is family-owned and operated, founded nearly 40 years ago, with a mission to provide bulk frozen, refrigerated, and ambient food storage for various food manufacturers and clients. And today, they operate three warehouses in Denver. And beyond palletized storage, the company offers specialized supply chain services, including order picking, blast freezing, labeling, repacking. And then, of course, with the logistics side, with Denver Logistics as the sister company, they boast around 30 trucks and reefer trailers. Andrea, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
So before we dive into your background and your role, I am curious. It's the middle of fantasy football season. Last year, you got the golden toilet. Toilet.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that. And are you on track to go back to back?
Oh, no. Yeah, I'm on track. Who told you this?
I just saw it on social media.
Who snuck that in? I am on track to repeat on the golden toilet.
Uh-oh.
I had my first win last week. I almost had a perfect season of all losses.
Oh, no.
But all of them were close. And yeah. I'm going to lose this week, too, because I didn't put Judy in because he was questionable. And then he had a 26-point. Yeah. So I'm going to lose by about 10 points. But the first year we did it, I won.
Oh, there you go.
So I went from the bottom.
High to low.
Yeah. Yeah. Instead of starting from the bottom, now we're here. I started at the top and dropped immediately.
Yeah.
So I got my name's on the trophy, though, and we'll see. For someone who doesn't know much about football, that was probably a fluke.
That's sometimes what's fun about it. Then you get to rub it in.
I think they should have to give me a larger golden toilet, though,
if you go back to back.
Yeah.
Love it. Just a specific bathroom toilet specifically for you.
Yes.
Spray paint.
Perfect.
All right. So I also see Denver Cold Storage, the effort of parade, which Will's gone to with his kid. Recently, and I know that there's the penguin suits. Have you ever been in the penguin suit?
I have been in the penguin suit.
What's that like?
It is just like any other mascot costume. Weirdly, I can say I've been in multiple mascot costumes. It is hot.
The Grinch during Christmas?
The Grinch during Christmas. Yeah, that was an inflatable. That one's a little easier, but we know some people at the Reading Phillies, so I've been in their mascot room.
There you go.
Yeah, and those costumes are heavy and they're hot, and anyone who runs around in them is amazing. It's kind of funny though. The penguins are one of my brands of chaos, of happy chaos.
Yes.
When I started in 2020 at the company, our first Christmas party was held in the warehouses because it was still during a time where not a lot of restaurants were open or serving large groups of people. And I have two nieces that I like to make smile. So I buy random inflatable costumes, T-Rexes,
awesome,
whatever, you name it, I've bought it. So I showed up to the first ever Christmas party that I was at in a gingerbread inflatable costume for all of these older drivers.
Love it. Yes.
And they loved it.
Yep.
And from that kind of grew a, can we get a penguin costume? If we got a penguin costume, would we be in the parade?
Right.
And Shannon, who's our mom in charge, our person who brings us happiness there, Dave's wife, she just kind of took the reins and got us an actual mascot costume. And from there, we got three or four
more. I was
going
to say more than one.
From there, we got three or four more. And we've just been having fun. That first time, the first parade we were in, we got third place.
There you go.
No idea what we were doing.
Yeah.
Just having fun. I DJ part-time, so we threw me up there with a DJ setup. And this was our second year. I unfortunately couldn't be there. I was on vacation, sadly. In Italy, though. So
well,
it
was
all right. It was
partially
all right.
Sad.
It's partially sad. But they got first place and best overall. So next year, I'm not sure how we top that, but we will.
Well, I mean, when you put a person in a penguin suit and then put them in an igloo, I mean, that's got to be a hot.
And then we give out Swedish fish.
Oh.
Too. Yeah. Perfect. So like they're sweating, but like the kids are happy because they're penguins eat fish. We give out fish.
Love it.
Yeah.
All right. So tell me a little bit about your background. What first got you in the transportation world and then eventually to Denver Logistics?
So I went to Kutztown University, Golden Bears, for all of my degrees. But my first two degrees were undergrad, got them at the same time, one in marketing, one in management.
Nice.
And at that point, there were the dreams of like the big marketing firm. And you don't find a lot of that in Berks County,
sure,
which is where I'm from,
yep,
you know. But I had a logistics course on the management side with a really awesome professor who said, you should do an internship at Penske.
There you go.
So summer of 2003, did an internship at Penske in their logistics department. And before I had even graduated in December, they had offered me a job.
Wow.
I accepted and started my career there. I spent about 3 years there. While I was there, I got my MBA as well. So my master's in business administration.
Awesome.
Which I concentrated on also logistics and supply chain management.
Good.
Throughout that. Penske is a complete third-party logistics, meaning they don't have any of their own
correct
equipment and they don't have any of their own products. They are hiring other people to move product that people have hired them to move.
Right.
So I kind of started my career there, working for Pepsi-Cola's non-carbonated beverages. So that's your Tropicana orange juice, Aquafina water, Sobe, Starbucks, all that good stuff. Started on the West Coast, which can be very difficult. Then they moved me to the Carlisle facility, all out of Green Hills.
I'm from the West Coast, but I understand the logistics getting stuck in the West Coast sometimes.
Yes, it does, because it depends on what season it is.
Correct.
Because if it is any type of grapes, anything that's very specific,
yeah,
to that time, prices are going to skyrocket and you're just going to sit.
Yep.
And from there, I went to a company called B&B, which was based out of East Petersburg. They were one of our larger carriers and it was just a really good fit. Now, they were asset-based, but okay, they didn't have any of their own product.
Right.
So they owned the trucks and trailers or had owner-operators, but they didn't have any product that they were moving.
Yep.
And we would go as far as Michigan. That was about as far west as we went. As far south as like around South Carolina. It was, yeah, almost the same triangle we have at Denver.
Okay.
And that place was awesome, family owned. That's really where I fit in. For them, I brought them into the 20th century. They were doing a lot on pen and paper. So we got them completely hooked up on a dispatch software, on EDI,
wow,
doing all those types of things and just really working with their customers. Unfortunately, we all know about that little economy crash that happened.
Yes.
And so that was it for me there, that, yep, I got laid off.
2008,
the position was eliminated.
Recession?
2008, yep. Yeah. So then I moved into AWI, which was Surefine. AWI now is C and S,
okay,
not to be confused.
Yeah,
now
it was C and S, I guess.
And they are a grocery store co-op.
Okay.
So they had all of their own equipment and all of their own product.
Yeah.
So those are like the three major types of freight that you're moving throughout the nation.
Right.
So I kind of got experience in all three within the first 10, 12 years of my career. And when I left there, they went bankrupt. When I left there, I kind of took a break and did some SQL coding and things. Just, I was like, what's less stressful than this? And came back to Acme.
Okay. Yeah.
Doing the same thing, transportation supervisor. And they're the same as Acme, or they're the same as AWI, but it's their stores. So that's even one step,
wow,
more.
Yeah.
So AWI, it's other stores. It, yeah, was, Darren Camps, Dutch Way, a lot of names that you hear around here.
Yep.
But with Acme, it's their equipment, their stores. So we're always first. It's very easy to plan.
Yeah, right.
And they ran 24/7, 365.
Wow.
So that was very interesting. It was the first place where there was true slip seating that I had to deal with.
Sure.
Meaning that a driver would get out of a truck and another driver would get into the truck and off we went.
Yep.
And then
paperwork switch, you got,
yeah, yeah, you did all that, you know, and they'd go get their own trailer, and the facility there in Denver is huge.
That's cool.
It was fantastic to see. They have, some automated for picking the non-perishable goods and things like that, like your toothpaste, things like that. So it was very cool to see. And then I had friends that were friends with, some people at Denver. And they were looking for a transportation supervisor, and it just really fit my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
And my goal was always to get back to that smaller company, family owned, like I had had at B&B. Came in and interviewed, and it was just a fit immediately.
Yeah.
It was, took me no time at all to make the decision after the offer. Sounds like it didn't take them much, hopefully, you know, it's been very good. So I started as transportation supervisor there.
Yeah.
Quickly moved to transportation manager within the first year. And then in about my third year, they realized the need to move safety to one person.
Right.
They always had the safety, but it was someone else doing it. It was kind of mixed under the HR umbrella.
Yep, I figured.
Which makes sense.
Yeah. That
they work very closely. I still work very closely with HR. But it, we're big enough that it necessitated one person doing it full time. And they asked me if I was interested. I said, absolutely. It meant that I got to learn more.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, for the warehousing side, I immediately got my OSHA 30, went through all of the food safety training, everything that is required of us.
Yes.
Since our warehouses are almost exclusively food, and was already knew quite a bit on the logistics side, but
right.
Also kind of dove into that a little bit more head first. And we got you guys involved then at CNS, and our program has just grown immensely, and you can tell, it's evident.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I'm very curious about, is about growing it. A lot of our audience is, you know, smaller fleets that are trying to grow and get to the level that you guys are at. I'm going to dive into, like, what does that look like? That transition look like? I am curious from transferring from, you know, transport manager to safety and compliance, what was the thing that you were looking forward to the most?
Probably the fact that this happens in transportation too, but mostly it's the same every day, but it's different every day.
Yes.
There's way more continuous learning for me. Mm-hmm. And as someone who had an MBA at 26, obviously I like school.
Yep.
I'm a bit of a nerd in learning things. So that was something I was really looking forward to, is this continuous learning and the ability to impact change immediately.
Yes.
And at a company this size, that's possible.
Yes.
Especially given the immense amount of support I feel from the executive team, everyone around us, and even the people who are having to follow the rules. You
right.
know, they're really, it took a little bit in the beginning, but they're really getting on board. And again, that's very evident that we can see in, you know, accidents or injuries, things like that. So,
and before we dive into the stats and the data, I'm just curious. I know the safety and compliance role, like you said, it's from HR originally, and then it eventually just gets to you. That person or those people always wears different hats.
Correct.
So many different types of tasks that you're involved with. That's completely different. It could be drug testing. It could be, you know, again, regulation, driver retention or engagement, you know, scorecard type of stuff. It could be so many different things. And I'm curious, how do you manage the switching of the hats?
So I always say I work best in controlled chaos.
Yes.
So
marketing is the same way for us.
Yeah, exactly. So it's actually perfect for me.
Good.
If I get bored or I don't feel like I have enough to do, then the procrastinator hat goes on
yeah.
immediately. But if I'm busy and I'm kind of kept on my toes, which is how can you not be in safety and compliance?
Yes.
I'm always going at 100% then. It's the absolute perfect fit for me.
Very cool.
I don't get overwhelmed very quickly. And if I do, I have the support. I feel that I can reach out and say, hey, I need some help here. but it's very seamless for me. I prefer to be doing two or three things at the same time, honestly.
Yeah. And, you know, safety and compliance regulations is involved with this. What was that throughout the years? Were you up to date on some of the DOT regs, or how was that transition to at least knowing them even more?
So when it comes to the logistics company, 100% stayed up to date.
Okay.
My belief was, and I should say that from the point of when I was at AWI a little, but I was doing mostly routing there. So it wasn't, so the only thing I had to worry about there was making sure drive time was legal,
correct,
that they could legally do it in one day. But, for the last 8 to 10 years with Acme, everything else, 100%. Cause I believe that if you are a dispatcher, a transportation supervisor, manager, anyone in that portion, you should know that. And you should know that almost as well as the drivers.
Right.
And if you don't know it as well, you should know exactly where to go to answer the question.
Correct.
And look for
and
it.
And they change frequently.
Yes. Yes, they do. In the time that I've been at Denver, the split log law has changed twice.
Yeah,
so
exactly. Exactly.
You know, it went to the original change and then they changed it again.
Change it. Yep.
And to me, that's important. If you are working with drivers, and yes, they should know as well, but we should be giving them the tools to know that.
Exactly.
And I think we do a good job at that as well. When something major changes, making sure that drivers are aware, and if they have any questions, they know who they can come ask and get help with.
All right. Well, so let's step into the details. So, you step into the role and, you know, you want to improve the safety for the team, and there's different ways to measure that. Tell me a little bit about that transition. What were some things that you implemented, and, you know, how can you look back of like, how was it before and how does it look today?
So one of the first things I did when I stepped into the role, aside from getting all of the education, that I sat down immediately, OSHA 30, all those things, because that was for the warehousing side, right? The other thing I did on the warehousing side, and I won't concentrate on that too much, but was I asked and received permission to learn how to use all of the equipment.
Awesome.
So I went out, I allowed myself to be vulnerable. I got stuck in a corner more than once. And the warehouse staff could see that, you know, the employees, they were all very helpful. But how can I help them or understand what they're doing if I haven't done it?
Yes.
Now, you don't want me loading or unloading a truck unless you're going to give me all day to do that one truck. I'm certainly not efficient at it, but I could do it.
Yep.
And I thought that was very important. I had been on the transportation side for so long that I had a really good grasp of that. I didn't feel I had as much of a grasp as I needed on the warehousing side.
Right.
So that was the first thing I did, kind of concentrated there. And then tried to look at both companies and say, okay, what are things that we should be doing the same and what are things that we should be doing differently, and trying to match things up.
Right.
And one of the first things that we attacked safety-wise was our onboarding process on the logistics side.
Okay.
And we basically changed the entire thing. We started to come up with some training checklists as a group. You know, the whole team is together. What do we need to teach them? What do we not need to teach them? We identified some drivers that should be trainers and wanted to be trainers.
Good.
Got them a little extra money in that too, incentivize.
Exactly.
And that way people weren't new to the company and on the road having no idea what our expectations were.
Right.
And within that also, it allowed us to really go through, make sure you're doing a DVIR pre-trip and post-trip, make sure you are certifying your logs every day. You know, it really allowed us to set up expectations while also following the law. And that was one of the first things that we did. Then within that, we kind of sat back and started looking at our road calls and some other things that happen within safety.
Yep.
Cause we also have an on-site shop.
Yes.
So that's included in safety as well. I was going to ask about that.
Yeah.
This isn't just the guys on the road.
Exactly.
So, you know, what's happening? Why are we having road calls?
Yep.
There's certainly a fact of they're going to happen.
Yep.
But why? And kind of digging deeper there, do we need to do something different? Do we need to buy different products? And that helps keep our drivers safe as well.
Exactly.
You know, I have one rule that we try to live by. I tell everyone when they start, I take it very personally. Everyone goes home in the same condition they arrived in.
Awesome.
And that is, you know, the equipment has to be good.
Yep.
It has to be in good shape. It has to be running correctly. And then once we got kind of past that, we did something that I'm most proud of. And part of that came from CNS as well. So weekly CNS was sends me a report. I'm sure you're aware of this, of driver ranking.
Right.
Which is pulled out of our ELD program. Mm-hmm. But we hadn't been utilizing that.
Right.
And that driver ranking takes into account speeding, takes into account hard braking. The VR on it or the AI on it can tell if you have run a stop sign.
Yep.
It takes into account all of those sorts of things. And then it spits out a score out of 100. Yep. And so we started getting those weekly, as well as any violations, which we were usually on top of because I try to look through every day.
Right.
And any like unidentified miles, but really helpful data. And so I learned where it came from, was able to start running it myself, and just kind of started telling guys, turned it on so that they could see it too.
Yeah.
So now they're coming in, they're like, how am I number 34? Out of 34. Yep. Well, I can tell you it's because you do X, Y, and Z, because on this day you did this, on this day you did this. Well, how can I get better? Well, so we'd go through it. And from that was kind of born this idea of maybe we should put something together to reward our best drivers.
Yeah.
We already do a safety bonus, a quarterly safety bonus. So as long as you don't do anything unsafe, you don't lose that. And you know, the goal isn't to take money away from people. I want them all to get it if exactly. possible. Yeah. We all do at the company. But it was also, you know, a lot of times, not to be punny, but you know, the squeaky wheel gets the attention.
Yeah.
Right. So when you have those guys that maybe are underperforming or are doing things that are getting a lot of attention, whether it's a lot of breakdowns, it's an accident, who knows? Everyone sees that.
Yep.
And what they don't see is what's happening to that person behind the scenes, because that's no one else's business.
Right.
And so depending on what that driver has decided to say happen, you kind of get people, you get good drivers who are like, why am I bothering to be good? Why should I do this? If we can do whatever we want, why should I do this? You know, if you tell us we're a team and it affects everyone and this guy can keep doing this. So we created this program that is for our top drivers, and it includes everything. So it's not just safety.
Right.
It's not just compliance.
Oh, I love this.
But it's also, are you doing all of our company policies? You know, so sat down, you know, kind of put the bare bones of it together, and then sat down with the team. We went through what was important. And then I came up with an algorithm to be able to figure this out well.
Yeah.
So it's technically a 400-point, 400 points possible, 100 points from each section.
Awesome.
And that that was just simply based on the fact that
easy math
that the ELD is
right.
based off 100 points.
Exactly.
So why even bother changing that? There we go. And then we weighted it. Obviously, the most important thing is how safe are you on the road?
Yep.
So that report we get is worth 50%. Boom, it's weighted at 50%. Then we took ELD as a whole and weighted it at 25%, meaning are you getting any violations? Are you signing out when you're supposed to? Are you doing your DVIRs? Are you using personal conveyance correctly? Are you splitting your logs correctly?
Yes.
You know, because that's not on the safety report. The safety report is exclusively how you're safe you're driving the truck.
Exactly.
So then this is, are you doing the ELD correctly? Very important as well. Can get in a lot of trouble.
It's a lot of the basics that if you do the basics well over time, it just leads into everything else.
Exactly. Yeah. So we weighted that at 25%. And then we took our procedures. Are you calling in when you're supposed to?
Yeah.
Are you getting subject to count when you're not supposed to? Are you on time? You know, just things that you should be doing that are
right.
a part of your job that are easy. Are you doing them? And then we all, that's weighted at 15%. And then we took paperwork and weighted it at 10%.
Right.
And that's very simply, are you handing in your paperwork? Are you handing in your receipts? Are they labeled correctly? Are you putting all the information we need? And we handed it out to all the drivers because certain things are different points, right? You know, if you get a ELD violation, if you drive 11 hours and 2 minutes, that's going to be 25 points off right off the bat. You know, if you forget to write your out time on your paperwork, 1 point. It's very fair.
Exactly.
And so very clear expectations as well. And it fits with that training document of here's your expectations. And, you know, this is what you have an opportunity for. And then we also added in how many miles are you driving?
Okay, very cool.
You know, we kind of came up with an algorithm there of the least amount to the highest amount.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the person who's driving 5,000 miles in a 3 month period has a lot less opportunity to have points deducted.
Correct.
Than the guy who drove, I don't know, 10,000 miles, 11,000 miles in that 3 month period. So we tried to really even it out there.
Exactly.
And it's been a really cool mix. And part-timers are not eligible.
Okay.
Just because, again, that wouldn't be very fair, you know.
Makes sense.
Pretty easy to come in and move trailers around from our facility to like Sharp Shopper and back.
Yep.
And so it's had a really cool effect. We've had it, I think this was just our sixth quarter doing it.
Okay.
And so we at our quarterly safety meetings, we announce it, you know, third, second, first. We give out a pretty awesome, you know, certificate to them, and then they get an additional monetary bonus. Nice. On top of what they're already getting.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you've lost any part of your safety bonus for the quarter, you're not eligible.
Okay. Yep.
So that automatically takes you away too, because how can you be the best if you've lost something
exactly.
already?
Yep.
And the first time it was cool, but there was some grumbling about, well, I'm never going to get that because I drive far or I this or I that. And then the second time, it was actually an over-the-road driver who got first.
Perfect.
And it was like, oh.
Opens the eyes up a little bit. Yep.
Well, if he can do it, then I can probably do it. And as it's gone on, it's turned into, hey, where am I? How close was I? What did I lose it by?
Yeah.
I can look it up and say, well, sure. On July 7th, you didn't call in after you sat for a half hour. And that was the difference. I had one guy, he went from being at the bottom, literally probably second to last, had a lot of issues, worked his butt off, and almost got third place.
Oh, man.
Missed it because he didn't empty his blanket bin once. But that's how competitive it is.
Yeah.
I was able to tell him that. He'll never forget to empty a blanket bin again. I can promise you that.
Yep.
Most truckers are struggling to manage their safety and compliance for their fleets. It can be overwhelming. And that's where our DOT Compliance Motor Carrier Program comes in. It's specifically designed for long-haul interstate carriers. Picture this, an entire compliance team dedicated to making your life easier. How? By simplifying your DOT compliance and managing things like driver qualification files, new driver onboarding, vehicle maintenance, drug and alcohol testing, and even your fuel taxes. Your team will also be holding quarterly driver safety meetings, monitoring your CSA scores, and taking care of any licensing and credential renewals. With that said, we all know DOT audits are inevitable. But what is important is that you are fully prepared for when they do come. And with our DOT Compliance Motor Carrier Program, you have a full team to support you throughout an audit. So don't let a few small mistakes lead to audits, fines, or anything else that will hurt your business. Let CNS help. If you want more information, just call or email now, or you can fill out the form below and one of our DOT compliance specialists will help you out. Let CNS be your partner in success, saving you money, and ensuring a smoother journey on the road.
You know, there's a group of friends that, you know, we're teasing each other. Whoever's the lowest is going to have to buy dinner for all of them, or whoever passes. And it's just had this happy, competitive side effect that
exactly.
we weren't even planning. We just wanted to reward people.
Yeah.
And we've seen the numbers go up. And the goal now is to get the entire company over 80.
There you go. Yep.
And then once we reach that, 85 is where I'd really like to be. But
and do you see that reflected in whether it's, I don't know, insurance premiums or, you know, the CSA scores or things like or crash incidents or, you know, loss runs, things like that? Are there items there that you see it being reflected positively?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our CSA crash score skyrocketed.
Yep.
You know, and that's amazing.
Yes.
And our DOTs are almost always 100% clear, you know, and we're not getting pulled over for them as much.
Exactly. It's so much side effect that happens.
Right. Because when your CSA score is good, then they kind of let you go.
Yep. Inspectors won't inspect you unless you're you know, questionable.
But they will inspect you for the weirdest things. I had a guy in North Carolina a couple of weeks ago. They pulled him over to inspect him. It's a new truck, new tractor, because there had never been one done. Like, he ran the tractor, ran the plate, saw that there had never been one done, and was like, that's why I pulled you over to do it. Passed with flying colors, no issues.
Is this one of the new 2025 trucks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just so funny. Like, he wasn't doing anything wrong, but they can pull you over for any reason for that. But it was because there had never been one in the state of North Carolina on that truck.
Interesting.
Yeah. And he passed with flying colors and, you know, but yeah, so it's had a really, really awesome effect. And we always do it at the end of our meetings, at the end of our quarterly meetings, and, you know, give it a little dramatics and
the anticipation.
Yeah. But I mean, the smiles on the guys' faces and the lighthearted teasing, like, oh, I'm going to get you next time. You know, it's just been, it's really been great for morale as well. Cause
exactly.
Being a truck driver is without a doubt one of the most difficult things you can
do. It's a professional job for
in
sure.
this. Yeah. In this world as a profession, it's not for the faint of heart, and it takes a very specific personality.
Exactly.
And so if we can put a smile on their face and help them out and encourage them, that's...
And I know a lot with data, with telematics and information that's come in, it's, you know, for the drivers that are doing, you know, maybe lower scores, it's, like you said, it's easy to sort of point out where the issue happened. I'm curious if there's, like, what's the driver training? I know there's sometimes video training, hey, do a video on this topic because that's where the issue was. Are there things like that that helps keep them going?
Not yet.
Not yet.
We're working on it right now. Actually, we're working on setting up how we're going to use the CNS portal.
Okay.
To start doing that. So right now, pretty much what comes in is if there is a need, I have the driver watch the video.
Right.
And then we talk about it. But there's no additional training yet.
Yeah.
It's literally what I'm working on for 2025.
Awesome. Well, that's what's perfect for the driver files. Okay. If you ever, an issue happens, then you go, look, there was an issue, but we were addressing it. You know, it's safety on all aspects.
Yes. And in those aspects we do, but it's like the dash footage, you know, the dash cam footage.
Exactly.
And, but I also try, we'll pull guys in if they do something well.
Awesome.
You know, if they avoid something, you also want to, hey, you did good. And now we have a couple of guys that are like, hey, at 8:03, pull up my camera. Wait, do you see what this guy did? Or wait, do you see this deer I almost got? You know, but they're excited to see it because they know it's a tool. And so it doesn't have to be a negative tool.
Correct.
Just because you're getting asked to watch a video doesn't have to be negative.
Correct. I completely agree. And then again, it's like whether it's those safety meetings too, is being like, hey, look, everybody, like this is the way to do it.
And we've also tried to take a totally different approach to the safety meetings.
Yeah.
When I first started, there was a lot, there's still a lot of information, but there was a lot of information just kind of being
thrown out.
Yeah.
Good luck.
I guess you can't see me. I made the gesture of thrown out. And you'd hear in the weeks leading up to it, drivers say, you know, oh, I'm going to talk about this. I'm going to ask this question, but they never did.
Right.
It was first quarter this year. Yeah, because we just had our third quarter meeting. Yeah, first quarter this year, we decided to start trying something different. About a year and a half ago, we started putting a PowerPoint up as well, instead of just having, you know, us talking to you. First quarter this year, we set it up. I like to refer to it as kind of like a wedding reception.
Sure.
Where you don't get to pick your table. You get to pick your seat.
Yep.
But not your table. And I specifically put together different types of people. So every table has at least one part-timer, at least one local driver, at least one over-the-road awesome. Driver, yeah. and at least one member of management or office worker. So there's not like a management table, an over-the-road table. Everybody's kind of mixed together.
Yep.
And I keep them so that every meeting I can change who's sitting with who. And start with some questions in the beginning now, just give out some gift cards with that, get it flowing. And the engagement that we've gotten in the last three meetings has been amazing.
That's awesome.
People are asking questions. Drivers are sharing, well, this is what I do when I go there. And if you do this, it will help.
Yeah.
The amount of teamwork that we're seeing and guys showing it has just been great for something as simple as just changing the structure of the meeting.
Correct.
They're still getting the information, but they're listening. It's in a much more fun package.
That's awesome. I love to hear that. Now I know Denver Cold Storage, they do the lost time accidents announcement. Is that for employees at Denver Cold Storage? Does that include logistics as well?
So there's two different ones. There's okay. one for Denver Cold Storage and there's one for Denver Logistics.
And so what kind of track record for safety? How long have you guys gone like no accident or something?
So I think our top was 1,025 days wow. at logistics. I think it's 864 for Cold Storage. And for clarity, a lost time accident doesn't necessarily mean Correct. That something really horrible happens. It just means that something happened that someone was not able to work their shift the next day.
Correct.
Thankfully, and knock wood, we haven't had to deal with anything too incredibly terrible.
That's great. And then I know 2023 Acuity Insurance Outstanding Safety Performance Award for you guys. How does that make you feel?
Fantastic. Because that was pretty much my first year in the position.
Yep.
So for me, that is great, but it's not just me. It is it's having the support from both ends. It's having the support of the senior leadership.
Yes.
And it is also having the support of the supervisors and leads and the boots on the ground. If they're not doing it, if they're not hearing what I'm saying or not trusting in me or the rest of the team, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
And so it is a full team effort. I see, our director of HR, he comes with me to a lot of meetings when we have our monthly meetings because it's a great time for him to get information out as well.
Exactly.
We have everyone together and, you know, he's the first one to be picking up a piece of wood from a pallet or something else, you know, lead by example.
Exactly.
When we needed some help throwing a load, a floor load, he was over there doing it, you know, and I see that in our team. And so being able for everyone to see that from the top down is really what has allowed us to move forward.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have that support, it's not going to happen. So that was a full team effort, but it felt good.
And that's a good transition into, you know, just in general. So hiring drivers, there's always a need, different employees, but there's a lot of good news out there. It's like, hey, this is a great company to work for. And I'm curious if, you know, anytime you're still looking to hire in the future, why should they work for Denver Logistics?
So Ed's the director of HR. Ed and I go to a lot of trucking schools to talk to the guys while they're still in, because we'll hire you out of school
yeah.
if you have the right background. You know, a lot of guys will have driven like straight trucks and stuff or worked in warehouses. You know, we'll give you that shot. And we realized very quickly that we were selling Denver Logistics, but not trucking.
Yes.
So people were coming to work for us and they didn't realize how difficult trucking is. The company's fantastic, yep. but, and meaning like being away from your family, you think you're ready for it and you think, oh, I'm going to see the world or the nation. It's not, it doesn't happen. So, there's many reasons that you should work for us. Number one, we absolutely have that family teamwork mindset.
Yes.
Two of our core values, family and teamwork. You have your own truck. So we're not slip seating.
Yep.
The only people who might not know what truck they're in are the part-timers.
Yeah.
The only time you're not in your truck is when if it's being fixed, maintenance, whatever. So you got to get, we let you do kind of what you want to it within reason. I have a guy who brings his pet bird with him.
Nice.
And his dog. And so he made his truck be like a really happy sanctuary for them. That's another point. We allow you after a certain time, after you've worked for us for so long, and if you have so many years of driving under your belt and such, we will allow you to bring animals. We will allow you to bring passengers.
Nice.
There are not a lot of companies that still do that.
I was gonna say, that's tricky.
You still need our permission
yep.
ahead of time and such, but that can be really nice for a holiday.
Yeah.
Last year, I remember over the 4th of July, not this past year, the year prior, I think it was on a Tuesday, and we had a driver who at that point was going to the Northeast, and he really didn't want to lose the run. They didn't really want to push it back. And he said, schedule the Mondays. I'll take Tuesday off up there, and then we'll do Wednesday, Thursday, and I'll just bring my wife up with me.
Yeah.
And that was great. And so, people are willing to do that for you when you're willing to do things for them.
Exactly.
We are incredibly safety minded, as you can hear. So we are never, ever, ever going to ask you to do something that is not above board. There are companies out there that will.
Yep.
We will not. We make sure that you have all of the equipment that you need. Something as simple as seatbelt extender. We had a couple of guys that weren't wearing seatbelts, and we were like, what's going on? Like, you must wear your seatbelt. And one of them very honestly told me, it just wasn't very comfortable.
Yeah.
And so we did the research, we ordered some seatbelt extenders, and bam. And another guy told me, no company has ever offered to do that for me.
Wow.
And that was very simple.
Very simple.
They're very inexpensive. It's paying attention.
Exactly.
We work with you. We understand that you have a life outside of here. So there's a work-life balance that's very important. And our routing team, our dispatch team, they do a really great job at doing their best to make it fit.
Yes.
To make it work for you. We want you to be home. We want you to enjoy your time with your family when you can. Sometimes it's impossible. Sometimes the needs of the business have to happen.
That's
but
fair.
For the most part, we're able to meet that often. We are one of the few companies that still pays by the hour for drivers, which I feel is safer because you're not trying to beat a time. You know, if you tell a driver they're going to get paid by the mile, they're going to try and go as fast as they can go. They're going to get as many miles under their belt as they can.
Yep.
And if you're paying by the trip, the same thing is going to happen. And then they're getting aggravated while they're sitting and this and that. Paying by the hour is something that just allows drivers to go at a safe pace and not feel like they're pressed to get out of somewhere right away.
Exactly.
Which I think is absolutely huge. Having a shop right there,
yes.
The guys who are fixing it.
Yep.
You write it up in your DVIR, but you can also roll in and be like, here's what it sounds like. Can I take a ride with you so I can tell you exactly what's happening? I mean, it's certainly nicer when you know who's fixing your equipment. It's just, and we're Monday through Friday.
Exactly.
You're home every weekend,
yep.
with the exception of something that we can't predict.
Right.
I can't predict weather. If you get stuck outside of Buffalo, things like that. But for the most part, you are home on the weekend. Which is fantastic. There's not a ton of trucking companies that offer that.
Yep.
So you know your run before you leave on Friday. You know how your weekend can go, what time you need to get up. As a matter of fact, even most of the guys are doing day runs Thursdays and Friday too.
Yeah.
It's just a really great place.
Awesome.
And we see that in the fact that we don't have a lot of turnover. And the turnover that we do have is usually in that first 6 months to a year.
Yep.
And it's usually someone who's never driven before.
Okay.
And it has nothing to do with the company.
Exactly.
It has to do with,
this is not what I was expecting.
I don't want to be out overnight.
Yes.
Yeah. Or people coming that think they want to be out overnight.
Correct.
And then that first 6 or 8 months, I don't want to, this is tougher than I thought, or their partner at home just thought they could do it and can't. And that's important. You have to be able to know that. It's a very unique job in that aspect. But other than that, what we see is if people do leave, there's a lot of times that they come back.
Oh, there you go.
You know, the grass is greener.
Yes.
On paper. and that is great. And then we've got people that have been there for, you know, 10, 15 years, which is unheard of.
Yeah.
It's always
awesome.
Trucking. Yeah. So.
So, you know, you mentioned, you know, you got new vehicles every once in a while getting added to the fleet, or at least replacing vehicles. Are you a part of that replacement process?
I'm not.
Okay.
I mean, well, I'm not until we already have them.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I'm the person making sure that we have the IFTA stickers, you know, the HUT stickers, making sure we have all those things. But that is still pretty much through the ownership. And it's usually we try to get 2 a year.
Right.
And I say it like that because the past couple of years have been incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
I think for one ordered like 18 months out till we finally got it. It can be difficult, but we try it. I think it usually ends up being like every 9 years, even though we're getting new ones all the time.
Right.
Like the oldest ones getting taken out are probably like nine-ish years old, nice. Depending on the mileage.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then when we talk about the future, so how does Denver Cold Storage, Denver Logistics, where do they want to grow in the coming years? And how does safety and compliance walk alongside that?
So I think without trying to speak out of turn for obviously the people making the decisions, the way that is my understanding is we want to continue to keep healthy growth.
Yes.
You know, not too fast. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes when you grow too fast, you're setting yourself up for failure.
You break things sometimes.
And you don't always need to grow either.
Correct.
You know, but there are some things in the pipeline for some growth. We're very fortunate in that we are food. You know, that's what we're storing.
Yes.
That's what we're delivering. So that's kind of a market that's always there.
Yes.
There's a fluctuation, but it's not as bad as some other industries, right? So I think one of the things that would be great to do in the future, and I know that it's kind of been talked about a little, we haven't really explored it too far, is a brokerage.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
You know, because we don't really go past, we have like a very specific kind of triangle, I call it.
Right.
You know, we don't go over the Mississippi at all, but we do have customers that do.
Right.
So I think that is one opportunity for growth that has been discussed for the future. So
no, always interesting on the safety and compliance side of it, because then you're managing it. Those drivers specifically could be a little bit different. Maybe they don't come into the office or you don't see them as frequently. So managing, you know, the engagement and things that way, it's a different thing to think about, which is, again, another learning curve.
It is. and from the safety and compliance side, there's some things that I want to work through and go, we're really this year being 2025, really tackling that full onboarding, training. What does that look like? Revamping that. I think we can do better. I think we have gotten better. I think we can do better.
Yeah.
And so from a safety aspect, that is something that I'm really looking forward to, because I think there's some really great things that we can do. I think there's some really great technology that we can use to aid in those as well.
Yes.
Technology has come far since the last time we've revamped this program. So I'm very excited about that. And I'd like to take the driver program that we have and find a way to add that to the warehouse as well, to cold storage, find a way to start like quantifying there and find a way to reward the best. Not sure what that looks like, but
right.
It's kind of bouncing around in my head right now. And compliance is just always staying up to date.
Yes. Yes.
Just continually staying up to date.
And then regulation-wise on that piece of it, you know, we've seen a lot of different changes over time with 2017, the rollout of our ELDs to just hours of service rules being updated frequently. And then, you know, in the future, we have a incoming president who wants to potentially deregulate. And so there's going to be a potentially either slowing down regulations or changing regulations. What kind of changes have you seen over the years that had the biggest impact, and what would you like to see potentially removed?
So I think, well, ELD obviously had a huge impact, yeah. right? And oddly, like, it impacted the people who didn't want it the most.
Right.
Right. And certainly there are people who think that they can be safer on the road. I'm fine. I don't need as much sleep, but you have to, you know, you have to be consistent across the
board.
I think one of the things that came out that had the most impact because of how confusing it was how they kept changing sleeper berth.
Yes.
You know, it's, is it 5.5? Is it 8.2? What can I do first? Now it can be 8.2, 7.3, yep. 7.5, 2.5. You can do them either end now,
correct.
Which you didn't correct. Used to be able to do. But depending on how much you've already used, you're not going to get a full day back.
Exactly.
And if you're not looking at that completely, you're expecting to get a full day back. And if you're not looking at it very completely, you're going to accidentally drive over 11 hours.
Yep.
Because, yes, it extends your day, quote unquote, for lack of a better term. It's pausing your day, but it's not giving you additional drive time.
Yeah.
So I think getting over that hump was something that I noticed was very difficult. There were a lot of guys who just had never been using sleeper berth and were like, why? This is literally designed for you.
Yeah.
You know, it is designed for when you are at a warehouse that you're not allowed to unload and you're laying in your bunk for 3 hours. That is sleeper berth.
Exactly.
And I think getting people used to that and getting them to understand the intricacies and how it can be beneficial, but how to use it legally was very difficult.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that loosened a little bit.
Yeah.
I liked the concept of being able to do 5.5.
Yeah.
And I think a lot
more
of
flexibility. Every driver is like, if we just a little bit more flexibility, it's helpful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But then again, you get the, you know, it's that balance between, well, it's easy to teach younger drivers, the older drivers, you know, who knows? It just depends on the personality. But have you found sort of the old driver, younger driver perspective?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We love them. But
I'm just going to do paper logs today. Well, yeah. No.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to, and that getting people to understand the idea of it doesn't matter if you're logged in or not. It's tracking every time the wheels move.
Yep.
That's how I try and explain it. If the wheels are moving, the government wants to know who's moving them.
Yep.
And so it doesn't matter if you're logged in or not, I'm going to assign them to you. You know, it's one of those, it was kind of getting people to understand that as well. And not just here, that's been
everywhere
that I've worked. Yeah,
for sure.
That is not exclusive to my drivers at Denver. I will say though that they are much more open than they were initially. And I don't know if that is because the team is taking
exactly
a lot of interest in helping yes. and learning and what can we do to make your day better? Like, how can we help you do yeah. this? I don't know if that's why or if they're just changing, but they're asking questions and that's huge.
That's and communication in general. Positive communication is
yes
always awesome. All right, wrapping things up. I know it's end of our time here. I am curious. So a lot of our audience, smaller fleets, they're looking to grow, maybe adding a safety department. What advice do you have them for that kind of a transition?
So the first thing I say is do it. Do it yesterday.
Yes.
You know, it may seem like safety is an afterthought or an unimportant, but it's actually your first line of defense.
Yes.
So absolutely do it. Identify someone in your company that you think can do it. And if not, hire from outside. When it comes to transportation specifically, get someone like CNS. I was not paid to say that. but honestly, get someone like CNS. Having you guys to ask questions to that I'm not sure of, that I've kind of researched, but I'm still like, it's 50-50. One says this, one says this. What do I do? You guys are experts. Yep. You know, if you get your taxes done by an accountant, there's no difference here. Let the experts answer the questions.
Yeah.
Let them help you. And that also takes things off my plate that mean that I can concentrate more on the people portion of it. You know, having you all do IFTTT for me and all of my HUT and everything like that at the company, being able, like, before I leave, I'm going to pick up 2 new license plates, you know, being able to do all of that through you quickly and efficiently allows me to concentrate on the people. And that's the part that I would say is the most important when you're starting that safety. Concentrate on the people, listen to them, ask them questions. They're the ones out there. I'm not driving the truck. I need to know what they have to say and I need to hear it.
Yes.
And if we can't change it, give them the rational reason why. Talk to them, to let them know why. Explain that it's a federal law and there's nothing we can do about it. And if you keep that communication open, yes, and they can tell that you're serious and you actually care, things will change and they will change quickly.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Luke.
If anybody's out there listening or watching, you know, got questions, put them down in the comments below. Like, subscribe. Feel free to follow them on social media as well. It's fun seeing the photos.
You'll see a lot of fun stuff.
Yes. I mean, the pet one, I always like, that was, I think, a year ago, but all the different company pets, I think, was your dog?
My cats were on there.
Cats are on there.
Yeah. Shout out to Jack and Richie right there.
But again, ask questions and we'll try to reply. Again, just thank you so much for coming on, giving us the insight and advice. And as always, stay safe out there.